Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Man, oh man, what a day to be a Chicago Bears fan, man. It's been a hell of a day.
Hell, them broke loose today, didn't it?
Man, it's so much to talk about. We'll get on. We didn't even be talking about the loss that we got to the L we took versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Alan Williams has resigned as the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, but not for reasons we would have thought a couple of weeks ago. We thought he would have got fired because he just sucks. But there was a rumor going around on the internet.
There was a what?
A major rumor. Major rumor.
Oh, shit.
That Alan Williams was involved in child porn and that Peanut Tillman was at the Hallis Hall facilities giving polls and Warren and then the McCaskies a head up that the FBI was raiding. The feds was doing a sweep.
Not only at Hallis Hall, but also at Alan Williams' house, right?
At his house. Wow. Eberflus was crying. Eberflus was crying. He was distraught.
Eberflus broke down in tears.
Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles assured Eberflus that he would not be punished for choosing Alan Williams.
It was elaborate. And we found out there were no feds at the Hallis Hall facilities.
Yo,
no feds at Hallis Hall.
Who was the person that dropped this story?
Let me find him.
What was his name? Because he is a lying son of a bitch.
I mean, besides Goofball, what was his name?
No.
It was John Zagul.
Get the fuck out of here.
John.
Like,
at John Z Sport.
He
backed it up. He said, I stand by my source and my reporting regarding the Alan Williams and Bears matter. I care about the truth of the situation. I'm not in it for the clicks, shares, or likes. I have never been and never will be. And they're tearing his ass up.
Get the fuck out of here.
Full of shit, man. Get the fuck out of here, dog.
I don't know whether or not there might be something. It might be something more to the situation.
Trust me, if that was the case, Shefty would have been broke that, bro. Yeah.
I've heard some stuff. People hit me up with something. And I told y'all, I was like, hey, man, I don't know if this is true or not. So I ain't even going to hop out. But people got to get their clicks.
Right.
I was like, I ain't about to hop out here and put this out there, bro.
Right. See, what it was is that it's a bombshell of a news day, and people who don't get no traffic, you know, look, everybody can't be the Three Kings, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, Dan getting 2, 3, 4, 5,000 motherfucking likes, Roy getting 5, 10,000 likes, I'm getting my, 3 to 4, 5,000 likes on shit, man. And then you got motherfuckers like that who try to take advantage of traction on a bombshell sports day, and you make up lies. Lies. That's foul, man. This man got a family, everything
else.
Well,
it's not even, I can care less about, Alan Williams at this point, because he's not going to be with the Bears, and I thought he was pathetic as a defensive coordinator anyway. So I don't care nothing about him and his family. This is about football, totally, right? And that may sound callous, but I'm just being
honest. He's a millionaire.
He's a millionaire. He'll be going about his life. Whatever.
Damn, but hitting him with some child porn.
What
though?
I do say.
That's wild.
No. I'm not saying.
I don't think Dan talking about that.
But see, that's the thing. I'm not saying. I don't know if that's true or not. That's still up in the air as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah,
until it comes out yay or nay, you know what I mean? Because if it comes out yay, I got some real strong opinions about Alan Williams. You feel me?
Right.
I got some real strong opinions about him at that point.
Right.
But, when it comes to the lies that was told, I think the more egregious thing was lying about Peanut Tillman being involved.
Yeah,
you know what
bro.
I mean? If he's a federal agent, he's an FBI agent. That's his job. That's what he does. Now, to involve him in that lie or that hoax or whatever you want to call it is kind of stupid, because you can call into jeopardy his job, his credentials.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my opinion, that's the more egregious thing. Alan Williams, who cares? Who cares? <Yeah. laughs> And really, who cares if anything is true about it? Now, I don't know. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying what it is true. But what I will say is that it ain't been denied 100%. Mm-hmm. And the personal matters and things like that, that's thrown out there along with health concerns. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it remains to be seen. But hopefully it's not true. I don't want anybody to be labeled a pedophile if they're not, of course.
Right.
But if you are...
Don't drop the soap in prison. That's all I mean.
To my man who came out with that story, though, I just got one thing to say.
Why the fuck you lying?
Straight up. Come on, dog.
It was elaborate, bro.
He needed some traction, man.
It was like that one time.
Had like several tweets, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doubled and tripled down on it, so.
It was like the person that made up the stuff about Nate Davis, about Nate Davis ate steak with Eberflus and he wasn't buying into the Hits principles and all this. And I saw that and I was like, I ignored it. And then it came out that Nate Davis had personal issues. That's what y'all better watch who y'all be following and listening to, man, because they be putting out any and everything just to get people to click and like.
And it's crazy because this is like the second time this whole situation, something similar to this has happened.
Yeah.
In a matter Nate of Davis just was the a first couple one, weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was the first one. Yeah, I remember they came out with a whole story. It was like a tweet thread. It was a whole thread of it.
Mm, yeah.
About how he wasn't buying in and he didn't want to practice. And it was like, this man going through some real life stuff, dude. And now, it's wild, bro. And then that was like the first thing. And then the first thing was actually Justin. Justin went off.
Listen, you know, they were asking, when this went down, I sat here and I watched it happen live, right? I couldn't get no damn sleep. So I'm sitting up, right? And then all of a sudden my phone alerts like Justin Fields is about to hit the podium. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, boom, let me open this up. And then as soon as I opened it up, it was like the first couple words that came out of his mouth. And I was like, like, yo, it's like my mouth dropped. Like, is he just saying what I've been wanting him to say for the longest? Is he saying what I really think he's saying? So I'm like, hold on. Let me keep listening before I wig out. And then when he doubled down on it, and then he was like, you know what? F all that. He was like, F that. I'm going to do what got me here. So I'm going to play only one way I know, and that's my way. And then when she asks, do you think anything that has been having you feeling robotic, do you attribute that to anything? He said, yeah. Coaching. Yep. Right then and there, I knew. I said, oh, that's it. Getsy ass is done. He's done. Officially. Because somebody had to come to Justin Fields before he went. They knew that he was going to the podium. Okay? Now, either it be Kevin Warren, which I think it was, but either it be Kevin Warren or either it be Ryan Poles. Or they may have done it together. But one of them have went to him before he went up on that podium and told him, dog, don't trip. They not going to be here too much longer. Do you. And we gonna work on that. They're going to have to build around you. You don't have to build. You don't have to assimilate to them. They got to conform to you. You the one that we back and you the one that we believe in. And the way he took that podium, you saw it come out. I don't know if he talked to Pablo before he got up there, because he was just on some straight up, I don't give a fuck. This is what it is. And y'all can kiss my ass, suck my dick, fuck you, so what? And then give him the birds when he walked out. Pretty much that's how he was cut. But man, I couldn't believe it. And that's when I start blowing y'all up like, yo, did y'all just see this? Like, did y'all just see this presser? And nobody was responding. And then y'all was like, oh shit, hold up.
Yeah, you text me. I wasn't on Twitter. I was at the gym, so I wasn't checking.
I'm like, yo. I'm like, yo, I called Dad. I'm like, Dad, did you see this shit? He was like, no, I ain't checked it out yet. Hold up. He was like, then he was like, yo. I said, I know, bruh. Like, you can only push a person so much. You know, after a while, just like a dog, you know what I'm saying? I hate to contort it to a dog, but even the nicest dog, I bite your ass if you push them to their limit. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is. Fight or flight. That's
exactly.
What
right now, and that's exactly the mode that Justin Fields is in. Fight or flight. He hearing people saying he suck. He hearing national media saying that maybe the Bears need to move on. How you think that would make a person feel, especially knowing that you ain't the fucking cause of it? Like, look, I'm doing what they asked me to do. The shit sucks, and it ain't working. At the end of the day, you notice, out of all of this, they spoke to Eberflus, they spoke to Justin Fields, they didn't speak to Luke Getsy. Take that into account. He's done, and he know it. He a dead man walking.
I think he talks tomorrow. I think he speaks tomorrow.
Even in still, shit. You would have thought they would have brought him to the podium today. You know what I'm saying? He's going to speak tomorrow, but even after Justin spoke, it seemed like Eberflus was doing damage control. We want him to be open. That's fine. We encourage that. Yes, we did it. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, you don't. You just was shocked as hell that he said what he said, and you're trying to clean it up.
You got to – I get what you're saying, Roy.
Go ahead. You good? We was losing for a minute.
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, he's laggy.
Oh, it's like, what's your thought on it, Roy? As well, I don't know, man. I've got an opinion, and I understand what DeVore is saying, but it's a little.
Yeah, bit I think he just got. I think he just got fed up, dude. Like, because I do think it, and I saw this, and I was fighting this whole offseason, bro. Is they were just strictly trying to make him a pocket passer. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I don't understand this obsession with it. I get that they want him to, quote unquote, improve as a passer. Mm-hmm. But don't take away the thing that makes him special. Right? This dude ran, and I broke the numbers down, dude. He didn't really start running in week 7 or 8. And he ran for 949 yards in 10 games because he missed two.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. That he had a period of back-to-back games where he ran for almost 340-something yards. Right. He's elite. He might be the best at it. He's better at it than Mike Vick. He might be better at it than Lamar Jackson. So you don't take that away from his game. I get you on the pass. I get it. He's on pace to break 3,600 yards. Great. He can throw for 3,000 yards. He can also run for 1,000. Easy. That can be his game until when he turns 32 and he's not as fast doing now. Now he can process the whole field. But I never understood this desire to just restrict him to the pocket and say, Justin, just sit in the pocket. So it's clear, and Naz pointed this out, that those coordinators in Green Bay, it was Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur that was running that show. Because Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are still playing good, even though Hackett and Getsy left. So it was Matt LaFleur and it was Aaron Rodgers. These guys don't know what the hell they're doing. They're used to just coaching a quarterback that is already at the Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers had already seen every defense. It's like, he can't process it. He can't read the defense. Bro, it takes them years to get to that level. Yeah. It takes them years. It just so happened that guys like Pat Mahomes are freaks and have freak offensive coordinators and freak weapons and freak offensive line that they can just run around and do what they want to do.
Well, they got the right situations, bro.
They got the right situations.
Yeah, Andy Reid has done it with several different quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Not just Pat Mahomes. Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Hey, you seen how awful Nathaniel Hackett he had the young boy Wilson looking when against Dallas, bro. He had no answer for that. None. No. And it was the same thing that goes along with Getsy. When they take away that one thing, you're done. You're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
My takeaway from Justin's press conference, and I tweeted it, you know, when it was happening. I listened to it, and then I tweeted, and I said, you know, there's some gems in there, and we're going to discuss it on Three Kings. And then later on in the day, Justin had another meeting with the media at his locker, and he was talking about, you know, people just taking half of a quote, not quoting the whole thing. And I read it for what it was. I look at his whole statement, understanding for what it was. I'm not dissecting this thing, that thing, this, that, you know what I mean? Take it for what it is, you know what I mean? And there's some things that he threw out there. He said, at the beginning, I don't think he did it in a smart way, right? He let it be known that, hey, this is coaching that's inept right now. It's a problem, right? Without throwing these guys under the bus. Now, the media, the national or Chicago's media, took it, and they're so divisive that they want to turn it into coaches versus players. Justin Fields throwing people under the bus. He's deflecting blame. he's blaming everybody except for himself. That's how they want to frame it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And that's not what he did. When he spoke to those people at the podium, he said, look, I can take the coaching that they're giving me, and they want me to stay in the pocket, they want me to do this, that, and the third, but I can't let that be all of it. I can't do that and that's only it, right? He said, I can implement the game plan, I can implement the things they want me to do during the week, and then come game day, I don't need to be thinking about it the way I'm thinking about it right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was saying. But see, they took it as he just threw him completely under the bus, and that's not how he did it.
And he accepted his responsibility.
He stood up for himself, and he said, look, I'm a man. I stand up for myself. Now, that's something that you never saw Mitch Trubisky do.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a stark contrast than what we're used to. I mean, Cutler used to do it back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what we're used to. So when people saw that, they was like, oh, wow. And they just looked at and picked out the sound bites, the situation. He said, look, I can do this. I can implement these things, but I still need to be me. And he said, at the end of the day, I don't need to be out there thinking about this and that, being robotic with my work. I need to go out there and play free, but I can implement the things and I can practice the things that they're teaching me during the week, which is what you want your players to do. But you want your players to be out there and be able to play free. And that's not what he's been doing for the first two games.
Right. And, you know, like you say, he touched up on it, you know, and he was like, you know, they can coach me whatever throughout the week, but come game day, that's all. I prepared myself for what's going on that field on Sunday. And at that point, I gotta play instinctive.
Right.
I can't be overthinking. I just got to play.
I can't. And he said, I'm not going to sit and wait for it to happen and wait for it to happen. And it's going to be perfect every time. He said, no, at the end of the day, when that internal clock goes off, I need to scoot. I need to get out of there. I need to make something happen, or I need to extend the play. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's good at doing.
Which tells us what they've been teaching him.
Stay in the pocket.
Yeah. Just stay in the pocket.
Don't move.
Just take the pressure. You got to be able to you bail it out too soon. I want you to throw. And that becomes a style of play. And that became my issue this whole offseason with people on the internet. It wasn't that he couldn't play. He proved that he can play. They didn't approve of the style of play because they didn't like running style quarterbacks. Right. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like that, and that's exactly in the Bears. It's almost like they fell into the hands of internet trolls. And they were like, oh, we're just going to keep them in the pocket. Yep. And then when it doesn't work out, now you're pointing fingers. And then, like, some people are like, well, they took away the quarterback run game type of shit. Lamar Jackson's still out there running. I seen the Baltimore Ravens. I was watching a Ravens-Bengals game, and they spread 4-hour wide. And then they just ran a quarterback draw. He picked up 15 yards. This is like, you know, and you got to respect him going 4-wide because he got legit weapons now. Like, you can't do that in Chicago. You're that uncreative as an offensive coordinator. You can't scheme up anything.
Mm-hmm.
With a quarterback run game, then you don't need to be in Chicago.
And that's the biggest thing, man. That's exactly right. You're right on point with that. I mean, you know, you got a guy who has a clear weapon, and he alluded to it too. He said, you know, you look at the plays, and I look at the defense, and they're focused on me.
Mm-hmm.
They know the run, and they're worried about me taking off and running this mm-hmm. thing, right? So when the RPO comes, and I put it in the running back's belly, he either has to take off with it or. You know, because they're focused on me, they better run their lanes. And he's saying it's not only him, it's the running backs, it's everybody. So he's identifying the problems. He's identifying where the problems lie. And he didn't side skirt anything. He said, I got to be better too.
Yeah.
I got to make decisions. It's up to me. I've been thinking too much out there instead of just playing the game.
It's obvious. It's so obvious, bro. It's so when people were like, they were breaking it down, and he was like, it was a period where he was like, do I go here? Do I go there? Do I go there? That's thinking too much. That ain't a dude that can't play. He is literally thinking about this coach told me this. I should look for this. Look for this key. Do this. This guy's on my side of the sign. What about the pressure? And he ends up fucking up when he should just draw back, play ball. Who cares if the other guy was wide open? Because people do that with the all-22 shit, right? They see, oh, this guy, he missed that. He hit this guy, but he didn't hit that guy. Who gives a shit? At this point, who cares? Who cares, bro? No one's asking for perfection. This is like I play point guard, bro. I'm dribbling, and I see a guy, I just pass it to him. He scored a bucket. but I was open for three. I don't give a shit, bro. I saw him. He was open. He got a layup.
And you know, that's a big thing. People don't understand the game, right? And it's funny you bring up point guard, right? You play point guard, yeah. And you know this better than most, right? If you're playing guard, you're playing point guard on the floor, a guy could be wide open, but that passing lane isn't there.
You can't
that
get
passing
it.
Angle is not there.
Or you're not comfortable making that pass. You like,
exactly.
For that split second, you like, I could throw this motherfucker, but I might throw that shit out of bounds. I'm just going to make this easy.
Exactly.
I'm going to make this easy.
Exactly.
And he's going to be like,
the
I was open.
There, whatever
I was like,
it
I
is.
Can't get it. I couldn't exactly. get it, bro. I can't make that pass. I can't skip the ball like Kevin Love fucking down the court, you right. know, in that tight window. I can't do that, bro. I'd rather just make the easy pass. You know, we got right. 2 points anyway.
We got the money anyway, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what it boils down to. They want him to, you know, they overcoached him. They've overcoached the kid, man, and tried to make him into something, you know, and force him into doing something that he's not doing. It's like a Nagy all over again.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you.
It feels like.
Comfortable doing it. Do it anyway. You know what I mean? Like that, it don't work, man. You gotta, that's, and I've said it time and time again. One of the things, people have heard me say it on this podcast, and Will, you've heard it, DeVore, you've heard it. When we talk about your boy Shanny out there in San Francisco, I'm not a fan of his, but I know offensively, he's an offensive guru because he can do. He changes his game plan. He changes up the schemes. He changes up whatever he's doing to fit the players that he has. Mm-hmm. When he was with the Falcons and he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, there was a passing team. They threw the ball to Julio Jones and Roddy White and all of them guys. And you had Matt Ryan slinging that thing, and he was the MVP. Then he goes to San Francisco. Now you establish this dominant running game. And you got a nasty offensive line. Okay, I'm going to utilize them. That's an offensive guru. An offensive guru is not a guy that's set in his way and I can't do nothing else. I can't adjust because I'm too stupid or I'm too thick hard, too thick brain to adjust. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
yeah,
got to
you're right.
I sent a tweet out the other day. You adjust. That's an offensive guru. You adjust. Do it again. You adjust. Do it again. You adjust. Do it again. Put guys in position to succeed. Defenses are going to always take away what you want to do, but it's up to the coaching staff to implement game plans that still get the job done.
Or you run stuff that they can't stop anyway. They know you're going to do it and you can't stop. Like, everybody know Niners going to run the ball. What did he say? You got to stop the run. You can't stop it. The Bears, you know how many times the Bears ran the ball? The Bears were the most lethal running team in NFL. Mm-hmm. Have one of the best running quarterbacks in NFL history. They ran the ball 17 times.
Two games.
In a close game, too. The game was close for a while.
17 times. That's Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, Justin Fields, and one, I think, Davis Jones had a waste of a possession in the round.
Look, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator, I'm going to tell you what a good coach and a good friend of mine always told me. Okay? It is the defense's job to adjust to what you're calling. Mm-hmm. But for the offensive coordinator, it is your job to counter.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
You counter to their adjustment. Mm-hmm. Meaning that when they adjust and take something away, you always have a counter. Okay,
yep.
once you adjust to this and try to take it away, this is the counter.
Yep.
You're the Floyd Mayweather to this shit. Literally.
That's right.
All you do is sit back. Okay, watch. Okay, so you thought you're doing something by taking that away. All right, watch this counter. Boom.
We're going to do this. Oh, now we're going to move to this.
Exactly. And before you catch on, game over. We done won. See ya.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's
but
a game
Getsy
of cat
right
and mouse.
Now is just
that's
bumping
it.
His head, bumping his head, bumping his head. He like underneath the table.
Yeah.
Just trying to stand up.
Yeah, literally.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
And then you see your quarterback need some confidence. And most good offensive coordinators, when they see their quarterback starting to lose confidence and struggle with something, they'll call some bread and butter. You know what I mean? They'll get them some easy completions. And then get them going. And then, you know, get the run game going. We're going to focus on the run game. We're going to get some easy passes, get them some easy completions. It's like I said, I always take it back to basketball. It's like seeing the ball go through the net. Get a couple layups.
Get a couple layups.
Yeah, your jumper starts getting. Yeah. Now your jump, now your three is going. Now if you're out there trying to shoot threes and all, you got to see the ball go through the net. Now you see the, it's like a psychological thing. And it's like, they can't, like you said, they can't adjust, man. And in the defense, it goes to the same thing. The defense is the same thing. They just dropping back 15 yards off the line of scrimmage is getting cooked. These dudes are giving up 25 points the last 12 games, bro.
I cannot for the life of me. Remember again the Green Bay game on the two pods ago, right? When I was like, why in the fuck were we playing Green Bay? And it was 3rd and 8, and our DBs is 15 yards off the damn receiver.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why? You're literally giving them a first down.
Yeah, run the hitch.
Yeah.
10-yard hitch, turn around, catch, first down.
Yep.
You're virtually giving them the first down. And what happened? They do the same thing. They did the same thing. Man, Mike Evans ate their ass up.
Yeah.
Literally. Ate them up.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing I was saying, like, bruh. And they was like, I ain't afraid of Baker Mayfield. I was like, shit, I am. Because if Jordan Love can do it, Baker Mayfield can do it. So it is what it is. Now we got Patrick Mahomes. Now we got Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, which Shat Nagy, you know, Shat Nagy over there, you know, I call him Shat because he's shit and he's past tense. So Shat Nagy over there got them averaging 18 points per game. After two games,
I promise you this: they were averaging more than that after this game.
Oh yeah, probably. Probably, but
that average is about to go up.
Price went up.
It's terrible, yeah, bro.
That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. You know, I always said at some point. I said at some point this season. I don't know which game it is, but after one of these games, motherfuckers gonna start getting fired. Well, we already lost one. You know, we already lost one, so who knows, man. But my thing is, Luke Getsy better pray. He better pray that Justin don't go out there. I don't give a fuck if we win or lose come Sunday, but he better pray that Justin don't go out there Sunday and light it the fuck up. And get into a scoring contest with Patrick Mahomes, and they going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, a high scoring affair. People gonna start looking at Getsy like, dog, what the fuck?
It's what we talked about, man. Like at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, we talked about it. We said, you know, you want to see improvement from Justin. Now I do. There's a lot of things, you know, he did miss a lot of throws. He missed some throws. He overlooked some things. He, you know, like we said, he was kind of skittish, it seemed like, in my opinion, last week, right? He was a little skittish. It's like he was robotic. He was thinking way too much.
He didn't look like himself.
Let me go here. Let me go. You know what I mean? And it's like it wasn't a natural game for him, right? So that's the problem. His mind was getting in his way with so many thoughts running through it. And, you know, that's on him. He's got to be able to recognize. I'm glad he has recognized and he's going to make the adjustment, you know what I mean, and do what he needs to do. But you got to see some progress from him. But I said it at the beginning of the season, though. When it comes to Luke Getsy, he's also on the hot seat. Absolutely. I don't know why people were like, you know, Justin's got no excuses now. He's got everything he needs. No. That's not how it works. Coaching matters in the NFL, people. I keep saying it. When y'all gonna believe it? Coaching matters. Like you have to have somebody that's not only in your corner, believes in you, but also puts you in the right positions. Otherwise, it'll never work. It'll never work. So he's got toys to play with too. Getsy got DJ Moore, and it wasn't just Justin that got him. You know what I'm saying? Getsy got Roshan Johnson. Getsy got, you know, Deontay Foreman. Getsy got all these other players too. And it's up to him to maximize the potential of those guys. We know they get talented. Now you got to maximize. You got to pull it out and put it on the field and let them go to work.
It's simple. It's like when you're watching the game, when DJ Moore got the ball in his hand, wonderful things happen.
Yeah.
You just say, how about we focus on getting the ball in the hands of DJ Moore? Like, I don't get this. Like, it ain't that hard for me. Like, you can't tell me you can't create mismatches to scheme him open?
You can't scheme him open. You can't scheme Claypool open.
Yeah.
Here's my question. How many times did they hit us? Hit us with the underneath junk, bro? Right? Mm-hmm. How many times was they drilling the Bears with that? How come I don't see DJ Moore running that route?
Exactly.
Run the drag route.
They was killing us with that shallow cross.
Yeah.
It was killing us.
I don't see DJ Moore running that. Why is he not running? Why do we not run slants ever?
Now, exactly. Why don't we run slants? Why don't you see all the situations too where the Miami does it with Tyreek Hill? He's always in motion. He's never just straight lined up. He goes in motion and he runs his route out of the motion. You never see DJ Moore do that. You can't press him. You know what I mean? He's always running around the formation. You never see it. They just lined up normal. They ain't trying to create mismatches. They ain't trying to make you think. They ain't trying to put pressure. Like the number two people on that offense that they worried about Justin Fields. They worried about DJ Moore. And to a certain extent, they worried about Darnell Mooney. But those were the main two guys you worried about. DJ Moore, Justin Fields. So I would have my entire offense built around making them threats. So now that opens up it for everyone else. That opens it up for Kmet. It opens up for Claypool. It opens up for Mooney. Because you're so worried about Justin Fields and damn DJ Moore in the run game. We got to stop the run. We got to stop Justin Fields. We got to stop DJ Moore. That's what people should be coming in Chicago worrying. But Gesicki is just like, nope. Drop back. Pure progressions. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's why we're going to run it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Back to 1 and 2. That's how we're gonna do it. Every play. Out of shotgun. They were out of shotgun most of the game. They weren't even under center. That's kind of like staple of the Shanahan system is that you can play under center. And where's the play action? You come under center, you're doing the play action. You don't know if Justin's gonna boot it, Justin's gonna keep it, the running backs. It's making the defense hesitate that 1 second.
Yeah.
And they're taking that away.
Yeah.
They're taking it away.
Think about it. It's funny that you mentioned that. It got me laughing because I think I told somebody this before. As an offensive coordinator, you don't want your players thinking that much. You want the defense thinking.
Yes.
Because when they have to think, when they really have to think and put thought to what's going on here, it slows down what they're able to do. They ain't doing nothing but chasing people around on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got to think, that slows you down. You're already in behind. You're already behind somebody. So when you got to actually think and say, oh, no, I better cover this gap or I better maintain this assignment because Justin will break containment over here or do this or whatever. When you don't have to think about it and you run 4 actual running plays for Justin Fields the whole first 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to worry about it. Okay, we know he's standing in the pocket now. Okay, he's scared to run. That's what they're thinking. Maybe, you know, they don't want him to run. And now we can just sit back and do what we need to do. We don't have to think about anything.
Yeah, as opposed to running that RPO, and they looking, is he giving the ball to the running back? Is he keeping it? No, slant to DJ Moore.
Because
I'm making you think.
Instead of making the defense think, he's making his own players think too much.
Dude, that was one play JT O'Sullivan broke down. It was like, it was an RPO, but he was doing a mesh. He peeked to the right because it was like a little bubble screen. But he had the conflict defender was free, and Justin couldn't even watch him because he was watching a bubble screen. So he basically had to guess and he guessed wrong. He pulled it, and the fucking linebacker was right there. And he was like, that was never a good call because he couldn't even look to his left. So he literally had to guess. He actually should have gave the ball to, I think it was like Khalil Herbert.
Right.
But he couldn't even see. He's like, why do you got your quarterback doing 3 different things on an RPO? And then he gets tackled for a 2-yard game. It's the stuff like this, man. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Ridiculous stuff.
If you're going to run that, how about you run it on the same side so he can see it?
Right.
But you run it on the opposite side and you got to – oh, my God, bro.
And then you got the plays where you got guys running, you know, bad route. I don't know if it's a bad route or they running too close together. Spacing is off. You know what I mean? It's just when you're talking about anticipation, you know, anticipatory throws, that's what we hear. And a lot of people were like, you know, that one that he missed across the middle, the guy came open across the middle, you know, he could have hit the guy. And true enough, you know, the guy was open, he could have hit him. But at the beginning of the play, the spacing was so far off, Justin's probably sitting there guessing like, okay, somebody ain't running the right route. Which one of them is going to go what way? I don't know. So you got to go somewhere else because it's, you know, you mess around and throw it and you might get it picked. You know what I'm saying? If you guess wrong, like you said, he's out there guessing something sometimes because the play calling is so, you know, so crazy and weird. And, you know, the screen game, I don't know. What's it with these screens, bro? I just don't get it.
They ran the same screen 3 times in a row.
You know, you ran it down there, you know. look at the interception. And true enough, that's on Justin. I'm not absolving him. Because you got to, if it ain't there, bro, spike the ball.
Throw it in the dirt, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Spike it into the dirt. That's on you. You can't throw an interception on a screen at the 5-yard line. It don't make sense. And but why did you run that play 2 or 3 times in a row? You know what I'm saying? They ran it back to back, bro. Down
expecting
there
a different result. We're gonna break it this time. Like, this shit ain't working, dog. Come on.
And not
man.
Only that, but even, you know, he was JT O'Sullivan was talking about it too. You look at the guard on that play, the right guard, I think it was Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He on that screen, you don't touch nobody. Why did he touch the defensive end? Why did he even touch him?
It's so much bad.
Touched him and you actually slowed him down right in a way to be able to get that interception. So
yeah, which was crazy.
You know, it's the little nuances of the game, man, that people, you know, we just got to pay attention to it and understand it for what it is.
Yeah, Justin has areas he got to improve. He does
definitely.
But my thing is with quarterbacks is that if you watch enough football, I don't know if people actually watch football, they just watch the Bears and the bitch on Twitter. But we watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of the games. Quarterbacks miss throws, bro. Quarterbacks throw kicks.
Absolutely.
It happens.
Nobody's out there all the time.
Yeah, they miss wide open receivers. Nobody's out there 40 for 40 and hit every single read and every single player. The whole point of tape is like you're overcorrecting. Like, oh, yeah, good play. You could have done this, but this guy was open. So next time if you see that look, you can hit him.
Right.
So, like, my thing is that what happens when you don't have the good plays that outweigh the bad, or you miss this guy plays, it kind of like makes it bigger.
It makes it worse. Yeah.
It makes it worse. It You're makes right. it seems worse because you don't have the 3-4 touchdowns. You don't have the 300 yards.
Right.
If you see a guy that go 300 yards, throw for 3 touchdowns, he missed several reads right. in that game.
Right.
He took the check down when he should have went play big boy ball, as they say. It happens right. every single game. It
all
happens
time.
All the time. So that stuff doesn't bother me as much as it does other people. People be like, oh my God, they missed. I'm like, bro, this happens all day. You'll see them. You be watching Justin Herbert. They be like, yeah, he hit Mike Williams right here. But did you see right there? Oh my God, his tight end was running wide open down the seam. Maybe mm-hmm. next time he'll hit it. And it's just like no big deal because they won the game. He threw a bunch of yards, threw a bunch of touchdowns. But the Bears offense is so jacked up that it just get blown up. And to me, that's what I think.
Let me get y'all's thoughts on this real quick, bro. Just a little quick transition to the defensive side. What do y'all think about the defensive side of the ball and what's going on? You know, Eberflus was calling the plays. Did you see anything better?
No.
What?
I still seen the same old shit. So I didn't see nothing change.
But the whole secondary was banged up.
Yeah, and I get it, you know. But still couldn't generate no pressure. Still didn't, you know, when he did dial up the blitz, it was only, I think they only blitzed like 26% of the time. And when they did dial up the blitz, Baker Mayfield torched them when they went to blitz him. I think he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was 5 for 5 for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns against the blitz. That is fucking atrocious.
Well, you got to either disguise it better or you got to let your guys know that, hey, you know, we need you to impede the progress of the wide receivers out there.
Absolutely.
Slow them down for a quick minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you don't, you know, if you playing bump and run or whatever, just touch them. Just grab them. You know what I mean? Not grab them or hold, nothing like that, but
just
you
rub them up a little bit.
Progress. Slow mm-hmm. them down. Just a minute.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. The biggest problem that I have for the defense, in my opinion, is giving up long drives. I mean, they had what was it, 4 or 5? I think it was 4 or 5 drives of 10-plus plays. It's chewing up the clock. Is you can't. You got to get off the field at some point. You got to stop letting them convert third downs. You know, everybody on the defense knows what the fist is, right? When you hold that up, that's fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
That's fourth down. That means fourth down, we getting off the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what you want to do. You know, if you're not taking the ball away, get off the field. Don't be on the field too long. Get off the field. That's all you need to do. So make the tackles. And that's why they need physical cornerbacks. That's why they got Tyree Stevenson, because he'll come up and tackle. If he gives up a play, he's going to tackle him, you know, keep him in the field of play, whatever, and hopefully prevent first downs. And I just don't see it right now. I think they need to focus on, you know, forcing some three and outs. You can't just let teams march up and down the field on you every single week, bro.
Yeah, and defense, man. They added all these pieces. Secondary, I get it. The secondary was hurt, but
yeah,
the linebackers. I don't know, man. They ain't doing it. They ain't getting it done. Maybe Flus needed a week to get his ladder up. But his defenses in Indiana were pretty solid, dude. So it's kind of strange you hire a defensive-minded head coach. And this is why when people talk about the coach and they try to defend it, I really get on it, because I'm like, you hired a defensive-minded head coach. You spent all this money on defense, added all these draft picks on defense, and the defense is still bad. You faced Jordan Love and Baker Mayfield. You ain't faced, you know,
right.
Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow. What the hell are you giving up 30 points for? You know?
That's terrible.
You know, that's a huge indictment. Yeah. So when people talk about coaching, I'm like, no, it ain't the coaching staff. It's just office. I'd be looking like, look at the defense. If they were worth the damn, they would be able to stop somebody. You can't stop no one. Like, you giving up fourth and longs.
Fourth and longs.
Some Mel Tucker shit.
Fourth and long, fourth and three, you give up a touchdown in the first game?
Bro, they're keeping offense on the field. They ain't even scared. They're like, they're giving up touchdowns. Not even giving up, they're giving up touchdowns. The offense is like, no, we staying on the field. They would have never done that with the 2018 Bears, bro.
Crazy.
Them Fangio Bears, they'd have punted that shit. They would have been fourth and inches, they would have punted.
Yep.
They're like, no, we ain't running up in there. We ain't trying them boys. They ain't got no respect for them.
I hope Flus can try to get this defense together, though. If they can get the defense together, you know, and let Justin do his thing, then maybe you can turn some things around. I just want to see progress.
That's it.
I didn't go into this season saying, hey, playoffs, Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't think none of that. I just want to see the progress. I want to see the maturation of a quarterback. I want to see the defense make strides. And I want to see some talented players on the outside make some plays. That's all I want to see this year.
Man, if the defense was at least somewhat solid, dude, and they just didn't get their heads out of their ass with the offense, because they got the talent to do it. If they just got off the pocket pass and shit, like they want them to drop out 40 times a game, 7-step drops. Like, bro, I get it. He should pass more. Incorporate the run game. Get the ball in the hands of DJ more. And they got to do something with that defense, because if you keep getting up 30 points a game, you ain't going to win shit.
You ain't going to win nothing. No.
You
got to score 30 to win, 30 to be in the game.
Remember,
25 to get you in the game, 30 might get you a win.
Remember in like 2019, we were like, man, if the Bears could just score 21 points a game,
yep.
We'd have won certain things, because they were holding people to 17 points a game.
Yep. Yeah. And they couldn't score.
this offense would have that team in the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah. That tells you how far we came.
It just seems like we're the land of misfit fucking toys, man. It's like we can't never do two things right together. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, okay, you got offense, no defense. You got defense, no offense. You got a motherfucking quarterback, no offense coordinator. You got a it's like, what the fuck, man?
Remember we had a good offense, but trust me, our defense finally broke.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, man. It's like we never get shit right all at the same time together. Like normal fucking teams, man. It's like we're the land of misfit toys. You know, it's like, that looks nice, but yeah, it can't do this. You know, it's like, this shit is insane, bro. Like, oh, damn, you know, damn,
oh, you
that's
got a
dog-ass
receiver.
But
it don't power up. I ain't got no power up.
Right, like look at Claypool.
I ain't got no controllers.
Yeah. Fuck, man, like, look at Claypool. You know, he's 6 foot fucking four. 230 fucking pounds and can run like a goddamn gazelle, but for some reason can't catch the ball, can't block, ain't fast. No, you know, you run a 4.3, you know, you run a 4.3 40, you're every fucking thing that Calvin Johnson, aka Megatron, was on paper.
Yeah,
why in the fuck are you not playing like him, man? Seriously, I'm not understanding that. You're all the measurables that Calvin Johnson was. The only thing is that's separating y'all, it's got to be the heart.
And I don't even want you to be Megatron. I just want you to be decent. I just want
that's
you to
it.
Be decent, bro. A decent two. That's what
that's
I want you
it.
To be. That.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, going to be wide receiver three.
We got a goddamn quarterback. Line won't block. Got a quarterback with no offensive coordinator. Like, Jesus
offensive
Christ, man.
Injured.
Like,
everybody
Bryce
injured.
Bryson Jones on the IR.
You know, and this shit can't be real. But while we on the subject of coaching and everything else, what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've read left me a little, got me looking at some of this Bears fan base sideways. And I'm keeping it a buck, you know, because it's deja vu all over again. And it's like y'all couldn't wait. It's like some of y'all couldn't wait. Some of y'all supposed to be, you know, NFL, you know, former NFL people, whatever, whatever. But it lets me know that good old boy club is still in the NFL. It's still in y'all way of thinking. Because if you were an identifier of talent, you could clearly see that Justin Fields is very talented. Clearly. I mean, he rewritten every fucking passing record in the NCAA when he came out of Ohio State. This was no gimmick offense that they were running. This is a highly intelligent young man, number one. He's not no dummy, folks, at all. The young man is highly intelligent, okay? So, I'm pretty sure he can read and diagnose a defense. He's been doing it. He's been a pro-style offense since he's been at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Running with Ryan Day, okay? So then they want to say, oh, well, coming out of college, this was the knock on him. No, the fuck it wasn't. Like, are you tripping? Like, where y'all making this up at? Because why? San Fran fucked up and passed on him and took the wrong guy? Trust me, if San Fran would have took Justin Fields, they probably have a Super Bowl or two right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the honest to God truth. And Shanahan's
he was
offense.
Definitely going
to
get better coaching with Shanahan. Right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, again, when Justin goes to struggle and we were trying to tell you, hey, folks, this is coaching. It's coaching for why he's struggling. These coaches suck. And y'all told us, y'all don't know what the fuck y'all talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we having hundreds, thousands and thousands of fucking likes. Even, I mean, fuck, man. I've only played the game for 20 some odd years of my life. You know, every level except pro. High levels too. You know, state championships, in high school, fucking Pop Warner championships, state championships, high school, been to bowl games, Rose Bowl, Citrus Bowl, Orange Bowl. I've been to them all, baby.
You can see when a player is getting, you know, he's not getting coached right. You
exactly.
can see it. It's clear, it's evident.
But the fact of the matter is, and I reiterated this back to the D Rose era with the Bulls, right? The last time that I was a Chicago Bulls fan, and it broke my heart. It literally broke my heart, and it damn near brought me to tears out of anger because I saw how the city turned on Derrick Rose the moment you felt in your minds, Chicago fan base, you felt in your minds, the moment you felt in your minds that, oh, he should be back by now. Why isn't he healed? He's taking 18 months. We're hearing that he's dominating in practice. Why isn't he playing in games? Russell Westbrook came back from the same injury. He's out playing. He's dunking on everybody. Oh, no, Derrick Rose wants to go and party. He wants to go do this. Why isn't he playing? Why? And then the Bulls come out. Oh, well, the doctors cleared him to play. They clearly threw him under the bus.
Yep. I remember he said something that he wanted to walk at his daughter's graduation or something. And people jumped on him for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you? You know?
Yeah. You know, so the fan base literally turned on him, spit venom, so much venom on a young man who's brought you a Rookie of the Year. He's brought you an MVP trophy. He's taken you to the Eastern Conference Finals multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
And was close to taking you to the NBA Finals. Got
and,
you the best record in the NBA.
Lost to the eventual champions.
Yeah, and lost to the eventual champions.
who was a three-headed monster at the time.
A super team.
Yeah, a super team. Yeah.
So all of this after he rose you from the circus dirt that you was in.
Even that first year, even his rookie year.
Absolutely.
When they played the Celtics, that was a super
team. Yeah, that was absolutely that was an epic.
And they took them 7 games. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. After he risen you from the ashes of the circus dirt that Michael Jordan left you in. And you were ungrateful when they walked away.
Yeah.
Ungrateful then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't give Jordan that venom because you knew better.
You knew better.
You knew better. Yeah. But you gave all venom to Derrick Rose. I remember what you said. I remember you calling into the radio stations and you just, oh, he needs to get out of here then, and the Bulls need to find a way to get away from Derrick Rose, and oh God, I'm so tired of him and his brother. Mm-hmm. It was the whole nine. I remember it clear as day.
I'll see a person get up on Sunday morning and they'll post a tweet. You know, they'll post something, let's go Bears, you know, bear down, Justin Fields about to have a good day, whatever, right? And then you look up later on and it's like, okay, the game didn't go how you wanted it to go or whatever. Now Justin Fields sucks.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He's dumb. He can't read defenses. Yep. He's lost out there. He's an idiot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just all kinds of stuff. And it's like,
I just don't see it. I'm off him. We need to get rid of him. Caleb Williams, 2024.
Bring Badgett in.
People. And the crazy thing is.
Come on, man. Badgett, bro. Come on, man.
Right.
Come on,
fucking Badgett. Like, somebody who's played Division 9 football.
That's what I was saying, too.
You like, fucking kidding me? He's one step away from fucking playing. He's one step away from playing 8-man football. Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah, man.
He was in the 707 league. He was in the 707 league.
Bro.
Semi pro.
Bro. 8-man football. One fucking division away from playing 8-man football. You want to throw him out there? Are you smoking crack, motherfucker?
You think this shit looks bad now?
These motherfuckers will run the scoreboard up if you throw his ass out there.
Smoke crack, don't you?
Jump. Expeditiously. Go kill yourself. Don't fuck around with it. Just go on and do it.
Do
expeditiously.
It. Do it expeditiously.
Expeditiously. You're gonna kill yourself. Don't fuck around with it. Go on and do it.
And the crazy part about it is, like, that seems to be the solution other than saying, let's just do what the hell we were doing last year that was successful.
Right.
How the hell is this? This is a fucking clown world, dude.
Bro.
Like, how the hell? Like, oh, Justin Fields doesn't do well as a drop back pocket passer. Let's just keep asking him to be a drop back pocket passer. Like, no, like, you don't see, like, there's a, you don't see them Andy Reid telling Pat Mahomes to do that, these athletic quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You start saying, this is what we're going to do. You got to stop it. And if once you figure out how to stop it, we're going to counter it.
And for the record, I'm letting y'all know now, while you listening to this podcast, you're probably thinking, Patrick Mahomes isn't a scrambler. Yes, the fuck he is, okay? Yes, he is.
He's moving out there.
He's a scrambler, okay? They move the pocket for Patrick Mahomes. He is not a pocket passer.
No.
Okay? No. He's not back there like a fucking statue. So cut the shit.
It's just like Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, believe it or not, was a scrambler, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can move the pocket. He can move up in the pocket. He can get outside the pocket, make some runs. Just
they didn't put him in the pocket until his arm died.
Or if he's slower, yeah. He was fine doing it until his arm died.
And then they had to keep his ass in the pocket. And he was a sitting duck at that point. And you see, that was the end of his career.
Most of these quarterbacks today, their biggest plays are like broken plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they practice a scramble drill in Kansas City because he does it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call all this whiz bang shit. Sometimes he executes it. Sometimes he misses reads just like Justin Fields does, and he just start making shit happen.
How many times he scrambles and just throws some bullshit across his body to somebody and it goes for a fucking 40 yarder?
Bro, that's why
I'm gonna tell people one more time too. Patrick Mahomes, this is his words, not mine. This is what he said. He said that he could not read defenses his third year in the league.
Yep.
Until year three, halfway through year three, is when he could finally read defenses. I'm going to tell you another thing that Patrick Mahomes said out of his own mouth. When he went to the Super Bowl that year, he could not identify at the beginning of the play the Mike linebacker. That tells you that it's coaching. It's a lot more that goes into it. And people just, you know, you expect these guys, like, you everybody thinks Patrick Mahomes is just know-it-all wisdom. He's got it all. Bro, it took time for him to learn that. And that's after sitting for an entire year and watching Alex Smith.
Yep. So
these quarterbacks come into the league, man. They got
a Hall of Famers
to learn, bro. They got a lot to learn.
Hall of Fame head coach, play caller, Hall of Fame tight end, Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Exactly.
And a hell of offensive line. It will take you, because a lot of times, I guarantee you, I don't break down Pat Mahomes, but I guarantee you all those times he was taking off, just making shit happen, it was probably somebody open. Yeah. But it don't matter because he made something happen.
Exactly.
But why the hell Andy Reid let him do that? So why the hell would you tell Justin Fields to not do that, just sit in the pocket? So he basically told us that that's what they were telling him.
That's what they want him to do.
Stay in the pocket. Stay in the pocket.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then the fans turn around and bash him like, oh, there's something wrong with him. He's broken. He's this. He's that. Not knowing the full fucking story. And then you come out and you say all this crazy shit about Justin Fields, right? Which lets me know that you didn't fuck with him to begin with. From the moment we drafted him, you hated the pig. But you played it off like you was down with it because you was afraid of the backlash.
Oh yeah, no, you didn't want that backlash.
So now that everything has came out and you shown your true colors, we know who you are. When you start balling, don't bring your bitch ass back.
Don't hop back on the bandwagon.
No.
Don't bring your bitch ass back.
Stay over there.
And that's the thing.
You know, and we talked about it earlier, and there's like, you know, you think about Chicago. They haven't had a 4,000-yard passer in forever, in their entire existence, right? Some of that is on the organization, of course.
Absolutely.
Right? We know that. We've identified that. There's the organization to blame for that. There's also the fan base to blame.
Yes, sir.
And I hold them accountable. I hold people accountable because what you say, the booing that you do, you know what I mean? Like, you could boo some stuff, you know, whatever. I'm not telling nobody how to fan. But at the end of the day, when you just bash players for the hell of it, you just bash players just because, that's a problem, bro. Like, you have a legitimate problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have more negativity, you know what I mean, to spew in about your own circumstances or life.
That's why
you take it out on sports figures or whatever
that's
you want to call it. Because it's something not going well in your life. I'm just being honest about it. Like, you gotta, there's no reason to not back the guy. He hasn't even had a third year. We gave Mitch Trubisky 4.
Right.
We gave Cutler 6
years. He can't get a full 3 years. He get 2 years and 2 games, and y'all like throw him away.
About, man, get Badgett in there.
Badgett. The motherfuckers who was one sneeze away from 8-man football. The fuck out of here. Y'all can't be serious, man.
And we've seen Justin Fields do things as a Chicago Bear quarterback that we've never seen. And you already.
Yeah.
2 games into the year one. And they clearly aren't doing what he's good at.
Right.
And you are cool with it. And then that's when, like it's like I mentioned, I said, dude, before Jay Cutler came to Chicago, he threw for 4,500 yards. You don't know why? You know who his coach?
Yep.
Mike Shanahan.
Yep.
And what did Cutler say?
The creator of the
What did Cutler say about Shanahan? He said that system was a very quarterback-friendly system.
Yep.
It helped him become the best player that he could be. He said Chicago doesn't have that same formula. It doesn't.
Working with Mike Marks and Loggins and whoever else.
Who was that? Who was that other guy?
Mike Tice. What the fuck was that all about? Jesus
Christ. He had the other guy that came from Denver. He was horrible, too. I can't remember. He was here for a hot second.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he had like 8 offensive coordinators. Dude. He's like, you know, that's what we do in Chicago. Then you wonder why he never replicated what he did in Denver. That's why. And that's why I always point out the organization, because we do things as backwards, right?
Yeah.
You let Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace select Justin Fields when they're on the hot seat. They move up. Use future draft capital. They get fired. Now, the new regime don't have a first-round draft pick and got a quarterback they didn't draft or scout.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing. So when that's why when I was like, hey, if you're getting rid of Justin Fields, the whole staff has to go.
Yeah.
I'm cool with Ryan Poles staying because the GM usually can get another coach. Because I don't know if he really wanted Fluce to begin with. But right. If you're going to get rid of Justin Fields, you get rid of Matt.
They got
to
go too.
They go too. Because I'm bringing in a new coach.
And the quarterback. At his quarterback
at the same time. And they're married together.
Yep.
At the beginning of their career.
Yep.
And I'm going to hire Airbnb, whatever. And then I'm going to draft Caleb Williams. And y'all are tied together.
Yep.
Day one.
But that's another thing. That's another thing that I thought about too. And I think somebody, because I've never heard this question in all the press conferences that I listen to, most of them, you know, maybe I missed it, I don't know. But I've never heard anybody give Eberflus the question. So what made you want to bring Luke Getsy back? You know, we struggled last year. We're struggling right now. What keeps him, I'm not saying keeps him employed, but what do you give me something that you see that he's doing well? Because I don't see anything. I don't see nothing.
I think last year, the last 10 games, you can say he incorporated the thing. But it's obvious they want to go away from it, which was a mistake. I don't understand why you went away from that. But the fact that they went away from it tells me, I think maybe Matt Eberflus is in on that thing too. He's like, yeah, we're just going to have a pocket passer. That's what I want. Maybe he wants Justin Fields to be Andrew Luck. I don't know, because that's what he was in Indiana. I don't know. But it's a mistake. But you have a talented guy, and you're not using him to his talent, which is amazing to me. It's like we're having, like saying it was like Mitch, it's like deja vu. Like, I wasn't a big Mitch fan.
Right.
But I realized he has certain talents.
Right.
I wouldn't have asked Mitch to drop back and be a pocket pass. I'm like, this dude runs a 4.6. He's right. Built. I'm a run him. I'm a bootleg him. I'm a run him. Right. I'm a lean on the running game. I'm a run play action. And Matt Nagy was like, nope, drop back, step and step drop, and he couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Okay, man. And you couldn't block it. And it's the same thing. You couldn't block it because your line was weak. You didn't have the weapons because you had slow wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You were asking this man to drop back and be Drew Brees. Like, and Justin Fields is even better. He has an even bigger arm. He's faster. He's way more talented. And you can't, that's the thing with me when the fans, bro, when they be talking, oh, we just get this. Bro, if you can't make it work with Justin Fields, I don't know who the hell you can make it work with.
And he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of the college game.
Yeah.
Bro, at one point he threw 40 touchdowns ahead, a 40-1 touchdown interception ratio.
Mm-hmm.
I screenshotted it. I have it saved in my favorites. 40-1 touchdown. And then he ran for 10 touchdowns. This man scored 50 touchdowns, one pick. In the Big Ten. And you can't make nothing work with him.
You can't make
it
work.
Get the fuck out of my building.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's right. Shit. That's the honest to God truth.
What, man? Hit the button. Get.
Just get the fuck out. This dude runs a 4.3, built like a linebacker. This motherfucker 6'3", 230, runs a 4.3. Got a cannon, and you can't do nothing with him?
Get the fuck out of here.
Got to go, baby.
There you go.
Get the fuck out. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you literally have Mike Vick. You telling me you got Mike, you can't do nothing. Nope. We're going to make Mike Vick Tom Brady. Okay, get your ass out of my office.
Which, like I said, like I told people, I'm like, listen, I understand that Ryan Poles came from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But his ties, or whatever they tried to make it seem, to Matt Eberflus didn't add up at the time. And I didn't like the hire. I'm on record saying I didn't like the hire. Yeah, I thought it was stupid. But I didn't understand for why you just had this gentleman that just came from Kansas City. They just won a fucking Super Bowl, and he's not bringing Eric Bieniemy with him. Like, what? That it made no sense to me, because again, this man was calling the offense, he was calling the plays, whatever, right? But then we're reading before we even hire or know who the hell Ryan Poles is going to be our guy. We're reading that Eberflus is going to a second interview with the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Okay. That gives me wherewithal that, okay, Bill Polian and the search firm that they put out there pretty much said, this is your guy. In all retrospect, this is your guy. And given the fact that he is a first-time general manager, a young general manager, this is the safe pick. This is a good pick. He's a defensive guy. Put him in a defensive town. like Chicago, and mm-hmm. they'll be and yeah, and they'll make it work. The only thing is that motherfucker, you got to hire a good offensive coordinator to make it work in order to work with Justin. It ain't working. Mm-hmm. So that plan fucked all up. So
and
again,
defense still sucks.
You put Ryan Poles in the same fucking situation that you put Ryan Pace in,
mm-hmm.
in a previous regime, because you handcuffed him with John Fox.
Yeah.
Motherfucker that he didn't ask to have. Now he
we
fucked
knew,
up
and
with
we knew that everybody knew that was, mm-hmm. that was
right.
Dead and, he was dead
and John
in the water.
Fox is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
Is a defensive coach. Deja vu all over again, folks. Insanity.
See,
at
I don't mind having a defensive coach because I feel like I don't mind. I'm a defensive person anyway, so I'm cool with it. I think it's way overblown to have a defensive or an offensive head coach. I think that's overblown. I think it's more of I just want a guy that will hire guys like look at Deion Sanders, bro. I use him as an example because he's hands on with everything, right? But he's a defender. He's a defensive guy. First, right?
Mm-hmm.
But look at his coaching staff. He brings in coaches, and those coaches got them kids ready to play, man. He got Zimmer. He got NFL head coaches. And his coaching staff is littered with guys that know the game of football. That's all I wanted, bro. Like
exactly.
Eberflus could be the guy. If he's the guy, fine. But give me guys that are you know, give me somebody that's as my coordinators, as your coaching staff, that's well rounded and knows and understands the game of football. You know, even if you brought Eric Bieniemy as offensive coordinator, he went to, you know, Washington as offensive coordinator and look what he got them doing right now.
Yeah.
They look competent out there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like Kansas City is struggling a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kansas City looked like they're struggling, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Offensively. So, you know, obviously Eric Bieniemy is a good coach in that regard. So you never know. I mean, we could end up plucking him if the situation don't work out with Eberflus. You know what I mean?
I think Flus gone.
He gone.
You know,
he gone.
If he is, hey, well, you know.
I'm the Bears. And the thing about even the quarterback situation, you need a bridge quarterback because I don't think – I'm at this point, I'm saying all these good organizations, they at least let their quarterback sit a year. I don't give a shit. You draft the quarterback, he sit a year.
So shit, let Justin him sit Fields. Three.
Yeah, Justin's still here in my opinion, right? Let him ride out his contract. It no sense in getting rid of him. You can work with him, even if it's a quarterback run game. I'm hiring Eric Bieniemy, bro. Like already, I'm already like, fuck this. Because he's an offensive coordinator. He'll take the job. I'm pretty sure he thinks he can work with Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you he has a good relationship with Ryan.
Look what he's doing with fucking Sam Howell, bro. Sam Howell.
Yeah.
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 Flus is gone, in my opinion. And that's probably who he wanted. Maybe in we said
I think that's who Ryan Poles wanted off rip. And it was like, no. I'm pretty sure because it was at that time where Eric Bieniemy was blackballed.
Yeah,
it just didn't look right. And I'm like, why would he come? They just won a Super Bowl. Why would he come from there and not bring Eric Bieniemy? It made no sense to me. But at the time, he was being blackballed. Remember all that? When everybody was coming out, oh, it's rumblings about Eric Bieniemy and why he's not. But nobody had any evidence.
Yeah, he treats players bad. Or, you know what I mean? He's mean and blah, 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 blah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just, it just looked funky to me. It just didn't seem right. But then you tell me that this is, you take a young brother and he don't hire another brother. He hires some old ass, motherfucking pruned ass, motherfucking coordinator from all places, fucking Indianapolis, bro. That was a Bill Polian move. That was Bill Polian.
It might have been a Bill Polian move. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wanted somebody else. I wanted somebody with some tenure. You know what I mean? I wanted somebody that like, I was beating the table. I said Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
And I think they brought Marvin Lewis in for an interview or something like that at some point or whatever. I don't know. But I felt like he was a good guy for the job. That was just me, just because I like what he did in Cincinnati. And people get on him about his record in Cincinnati, not winning playoff games and getting to the Super Bowl. But he was working with a half deck in Cincinnati. They're notoriously cheap. They always have been. They didn't want to pay Carson Palmer. They didn't want to pay Chad, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Corey Dillon. They didn't want to play none of their players. And those guys all walked out the door, but he kept producing winning squads there.
Who was that, Henry?
With Andy Dalton after him. You know what I'm saying? Chris Henry. Yeah, all these guys. They had talent.
They had talent, but they could draft their ass off.
He always had a good defense. He always had a good defense, too. So I'm of the mindset, and that's why I was like, okay, with Flus, because it's like my defense is always going to keep me in the game. If I have Justin Fields, he's so talented. You can put you should be able to work with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why I was okay with Flus. And it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was.
Yeah. Man. Well, I'm always willing to give people a chance. Like, you're buried, dude. So I'm gonna give you a shot. Like I kinda saw you. I was like, if the defense can get back to top 10, because any defense was always top 10 when he was there. I was like, bro, if they can get top 10 and get something out of the offense, I can see this team being decent. And the whole idea behind Getsy, because he came under Matt LaFleur, which he's not a direct descendant of the Shanahan tree, right? Yeah. Because LaFleur is, because they, LaFleur, McVay,
right.
Kyle, they all were under Mike Shanahan or
Kyle,
yeah. They were all up under each other. So Luke Getsy kind of came from homegrown and then coached under Matt LaFleur. So he's not a direct descendant. Janako is, because he was under Kubiak. Mm-hmm. So Kubiak was the offensive coordinator for Mike Shanahan back in Denver. So it made sense. I was like, okay, the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator all from the Shanahan tree. If he leaves, then he can take over. But it's clear, like, this dude's in shotgun 90% of the time. That ain't Shanahan. Yeah. Shanahan's under center.
Yeah.
Right.
So it made kind of sense, but I don't think he is what he thought he was. Or what we thought he was.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah, he definitely isn't what he thought. Because he would have come out. Because that's the whole thing with the Shanahan. They were always running the bootleg with Jake the Snake Plumber.
Yeah.
John Elway.
Well.
They were moving the pocket.
Yep.
And they always had 1,000-yard rushes because of that zone run scheme.
That zone run scheme.
Now I'm going a little bit too back in the past, so my younger listeners ain't know what the hell I'm talking about. But it ain't start with Kyle Shanahan. It started with Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
They can take any running back, get 1,000 yards, any quarterback, and throw for 4,000 yards.
Travis Henry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They could do it. And I mean, but you see Kyle doing that in San Francisco.
Yeah.
No matter what running back they got a running back, he'd go down. Elijah Mitchell get hurt. Jeff Wilson got hurt. You know, whoever they had gets hurt, blah, blah, blah. They plug another guy in there and he's running, you know, they don't lose no strides. They plug Deebo Samuel back there sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't miss a beat. You know what I mean? So it's like they know they got a formula. They got a little scientific formula. Right, the Shanahans do, and I respect that. I don't respect everything they do, but I respect.
Yeah, I do. I respect
what they
do
when it comes to their offense.
I gave them a lot of slack, but I can respect that, because I mean, they're out there making it work with Brock Purdy, dude. Like,
exactly.
They don't care. They just keep producing. They just keep producing. So yeah, man, I think the Flus regime is done. I think they're just walking dead. I don't
Lame
think
ducks.
I don't think he's gonna get fired, because I mean, like, who the hell do you turn the game over? Allen Williams got fired. Resigned. Resigned in lieu of, you can't hand the team over to Luke Getsy.
Right.
So he's just going to be sitting there, he's going to play the season
January
out.
So what is that? January fucking, what is it, January 4th or something like that? Then Black Monday comes and he'll be let go.
He better go all out. His only way to save himself now is to
make
to
the,
lean on Justin
make the playoffs,
Fields.
I think, like, hey, in my opinion.
Justin, you gotta take me to the promised land. That's the only way I'm gonna make it out.
I'm not trying to make you a pocket pass anymore. You can do whatever the hell. You can pick your own playbook, and I'm blitzing every play.
Hey, if you gonna go out on your own sword, man.
Go out on your own sword, bro.
Straight up, like, fuck it. It is what it is.
Because, bro, this dude's won 3 games in 2 years. And it ain't looking like he's going to win one
game
anytime
losing
soon.
Streak. About to be 13.
Bro, he's going to have a single-digit winning record after 2 years.
Yeah.
That's not good, man.
Hey, John Fox had that, too. John Fox had that, too, though.
It ain't too many coaches that last through that, bro.
Right. No, Foxy was only 1 year, wasn't he?
No, damn. Foxy had two.
Then Foxy only did one. They got rid of his ass.
Nah, he did two.
Damn. Yeah, he did two.
It was some dark years.
He did like 3, right? He had a couple,
three.
Then they drafted Mitch. He had one because he had 1 year of Mitch as a rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his 3rd year, and they got rid of him after that.
Yep.
They should have got rid of him the year before, dude. And that's why you should have got rid of him the year before, hired a coach, and then you drafted the quarterback together. But there go the Bears. That's what Ryan Pace.
That's why they should have got rid of Matt Nagy after, 2020?
Yeah.
Instead of 2021. right?
Yep.
You should have got rid of him, you know, because you were you it was a precipitous fall. You went to the playoffs in 2018, 2019, you lost like, what was it? You went on a 6-game losing streak. The next year, you went on an 8-game losing streak.
The following year, like, they lost the wild card to the Saints.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon games.
Yeah.
The Nickelodeon slime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Javon Williams, baby.
That's all I got, man.
That's all I got, man. So yeah, we're going to be here for your therapy, man, because it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, you know, don't get on Twitter acting a fool on motherfucking Sunday, y'all. We know what's going to happen, okay? Relax.
We taking an L. That's my
prediction. I'm not even giving no prediction. Loss. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's a loss, but I you know what? I expect a little back and forth and some improved offensive play if Justin does what he claims he's going to set out to do. We're going to see. I'm not saying they're going to win. Now, they may shock the world, but I done seen crazier shit happen. The Lions went out there and won, so. And then came home and got their ass popped by Seattle, so. Yeah. You know, hey, I done seen crazier shit happen.
It's football. It's football. It's football.
Anybody
can be beat.
Any given Sunday, right?
That's but what I ain't, but I ain't got that, yeah. But I ain't got no hope, but anything can happen. If it happens, it will be a Christmas miracle.
Right. Yeah.
If it happens, I'm gonna celebrate it, but I ain't saying it's gonna
happen. All right, y'all, we out.
All right, y'all, we out.
Take it easy.
Peace.